When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. It's happy birthday, Behind the Black, Bob's birthday. We're celebrating with what looks to be an imminent success, more than one, on the Earth-Moon system. However, we begin with just down here on little old Earth, where there's a new indoor and outdoor record for reusability. Bob, I remember the old record, I think. I'm old enough to remember. I think it was around 20. What's happened? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Now, we have to be clear about this. This is a record for specifically SpaceX's Falcon 9 rockets and the first stage boosters. The reused spacecraft, you know, the shuttle flew, several of the shuttle vehicles flew many more times than this, but the Falcon boosters are catching up slowly, and that's what this story is about. Over the weekend, SpaceX launched another 21 Starlink satellites. The Falcon 9 rocket, its booster, first stage booster, completed its 26th flight, which is a record for Falcon 9 boosters. That's the most of any of those boosters have flown. They've got several have flown 23, 22, or some over 20, but this is a new record for a booster. It successfully landed on its drone ship in the Atlantic and completed its 26th flight. There's no reason why I can't do a 27th, and they say they're going for 40. This particular booster now has now flown that has now flown more than the space shuttle Endeavour, which over 19 years from 1992 to 2011 did 25 flights. The booster from SpaceX did that in less than 3.5 years. And the next shuttle record to beat would be Columbia's, which flew 28 times. We expect that to happen. And I expect multiple SpaceX boosters to eventually break this record.
We go from SpaceX's success to a success with the Texas Commission, because I believe that as SpaceX, well, Bob will explain. This is Boca Chica. Bob, what is this success here?
All right, so we all know that there have been some fringe activist groups that represent almost nobody. That's not my opinion. That really is true. In the South Texas area that have been using lawfare to try to block SpaceX's efforts at Boca Chica. And one of the ways they were doing it is they were demanding that the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality block future launches because the water deluge system that SpaceX uses to protect the launch pad and the rocket during launch, Starship Super Heavy launch, releases a lot of potable water into the wetlands there, and they're saying that's destroying the environment. Well, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality last week dismissed all these charges. I want to quote what the commissioner said. She said, concerns raised by individuals and groups, including Save RGV, the South Texas Environmental Justice Network, and the Carrizo Comacrudo Nation of Texas, that's a fake Indian tribe, failed to identify new factual information or an error that would alter the executive director's decision. In other words, there's no validity to any of this. The hearing requesters did not show that their ability to practice their religion or engage in recreational activities will be affected in a manner different than the general public. In other words, they didn't have any standing, there was no point, and they said, goodbye. We're dismissing this, we're going to issue the permit, that's it. They'd been using a deluge system on an initial permit. There were some technical errors made by both SpaceX and the commission with those original permits, and for that reason, they fined SpaceX a very small amount, a couple of $1,000 for that, but they have issued the permit, and they basically told these activists to go jump in a lake. It's not going to make a difference, and that's a good thing. I would say that I'm wondering if these activist groups like the Environmental Justice Network maybe got some money from USAID, and that money is no longer around, and we might see less of them now.
I want to introduce, Bob, the idea that this is a good thing to have people opposing and have an official committee say, no, not yet, not now.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. That's freedom of speech, and that's the freedom of our country. You can disagree, and you can argue, and you should fight. If you have a position, you should fight. But in reporting that, I believe strongly you report the nature of the opposition, how weak it is or where it's coming from, so we at least get some larger context of that opposition. They have every right to complain, and they have every right to protest. But, of course, if they're not the protests aren't really valid or have real standing, which is the case here, it should be dismissed. And that's what exactly is happening.
It also discourages other pranksters who might otherwise try to tie things up.
Yes, yes.
Because once you've lost, you're not encouraging anybody to come in after you. Now we go to Blue Origin. Here's another story that I'm twisting between about. Blue Origin's laid off 10%. What's the explanation?
Yes, their CEO sent a company-wide email, which he announced they're going to be laying off about 10% of the their workforce. But he said it's mostly focused on what he called bureaucracy. And he said, as we grew, our organization grew when with less focus, and therefore we need to tighten up and get focused more. What I think is going on here is actually a very, very good thing. The CEO of the company is named Dave Limp. He was hired by Jeff Bezos about a year and a half ago, replacing the previous CEO, Bob Smith, who for 5 years, from 17 to 23, 6 years, accomplished nothing. And actually, the company became a joke because they never got anything accomplished. Bezos was giving them $1 billion a year in capital to work with, and they did nothing for 5 years. Smith goes away and Limp takes over, and now they've suddenly got New Glenn launched once, and things are beginning to happen. I should point out that New Glenn has now been certified by NASA to do some launches, to bid on some launches. So this company is making progress, and we might actually see some competition to SpaceX. That's good. And I think what Limp is doing here is he first wanted to get New Glenn launched. That was his focus. Speed up the company, get things going, build more BE-4 engines, get the manufacturing process rolling so they can produce enough engines. But now that he's got that first launch off, he's now looking back at the company that Bob Smith gave him, and he's realized that Smith was trying to make the company Boeing, isn't that wonderful? And Limp is trying to make the company SpaceX. And so he looked at the people that Smith has hired now, and he's beginning to realize he can get some fat out. And so that's what I think he's doing. You'll get rid of the middle management people, and I've heard rumors that's what he's doing. It gives you more cash to hire the engineers you need to build things.
All right, one more try. I don't like that it's a subsidized company. I don't like it at all. Compared to SpaceX, which lives on investors and Starlink.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is true. One of the problems with Blue Origin is that Bezos has unlimited capital practically, and he uses it for the company. And when you got too much capital, too much cash on hand, it makes you lazy. There's no doubt about that, and I think that was what was going on when Bob Smith was in charge, very lazy. There does appear to be a culture change going on at the company that's making it move faster. But, you know, the proof is going to be in the pudding, and we're not in the pudding yet. We're in the bake stage. We need to see signs of progress, but over the next year or two, we're going to find out if Blue Origin is really going to change.
And everything's okay with NASA. Do they do any more than just approve the success of the New Glenn? Do they look over things? Do they
they're not approving the success of that launch. What they're doing is they're certifying New Glenn as a rocket that and a company, Blue Origin, now can bid on some NASA launch requirements. Like if NASA's got a probe it wants to send, Blue Origin can now bid on it. Now, the certification is only a certification for the most risky missions, the ones that NASA can afford to lose. They're not going to let them bid on more risk, on more expensive missions that they don't want failure on. So New Glenn is only out of the starting gate. It has to prove more flights before it's going to get a full certification for all potential NASA launches.
And Rocket Lab, Bob, how does Rocket Lab compare to Blue Origin?
Rocket Lab, you know, Rocket Lab did its first launch in 2017, about the time the Blue Origin turned itself off, and it's been launching steadily. It's about to do its 60th launch, and that company is doing very, very well. It launches its rocket. Its rockets are much smaller than New Glenn, and so it focuses on a different market than New Glenn will. But nonetheless, Rocket Lab is way ahead right now as a successful company. Blue Origin might eventually become a successful company, and there's signs it's heading that way. But they will be targeting different customers, I think.
Starlab, what is that?
Starlab is one of the four privately conceived and owned space stations presently under development. It is one of three that won NASA development contracts to begin design work or initial construction of their space station. This is in preparation for a much larger contract NASA will issue to two of these four stations to fully build their space station. Well, Starlab has cut very little metal. They've been mostly focusing on design and redesign of their station. I rank the stations that are available on my post on Behind the Black, and I put Starlab last because it hasn't really built almost nothing based on the other companies. The one thing about it that's good is it is partnered with a lot of European companies and the European Space Agency, so they're putting themselves in a position to become a Europe's space station. That'll keep them alive no matter what happens. Well, the story here is that they've won a $15 million grant, a small development grant, from the new Texas Space Commission. This is something that the Texas legislature put together last year to try to encourage space development within Texas. And so they issued a bunch of contracts, one to Firefly and to other companies. And so Starlab's gotten that as well. So this is a push for that company. Once again, we'll see which space stations actually get built. They're all interesting, and they all have different approaches, and so we could see them all go successful in some way or any other, John.
A one-legged astronaut. Good for them. Now I remember the story, Bob. It was amputees in space. This is the science fiction story. If anybody remembers it, it was from the omnibuses in the early 60s. You can write Bob. My memory doesn't include the details. But it was recommended at the time, and I don't remember if it was a double amputee, a triple amputee, that it was a superior form of spacefaring because gravity wasn't necessary, and they're following that course. Is this the first ever astronaut without two legs?
All right, let me tell the story specifics. The European Space Agency has now given an international medical board has now cleared a European Space Agency astronaut to fly to ISS on a long duration mission, and this particular astronaut, his name is John McFaul. Is missing his right leg. It was amputated from a motorcycle accident when he was 19. He uses a prosthesis on Earth. He wouldn't need that in space, so he could use it. Well, they've approved him medically, and ESA has now made him part of the next class of astronauts, and they intend to fly all of this class eventually to ISS. And so they want to do a long-duration mission with a man who is missing one leg. And I think this is a great idea. As one Russian astronaut once said to me, the legs are mostly useless in weightlessness. And this is true. We use them to walk, but you don't have to walk in space. You use your hands to move yourself around as you float. And so having only one leg should be very little of a hindrance. There is medical issues, though, that have to be studied because, you know, missing a leg changes the dynamics of your body. And now you go to weightlessness, that changes them even more. And so that needs to be studied. And so this guy will eventually be assigned a flight. He is not scheduled yet, but he will eventually be scheduled a flight. And this is good research, John, for the future. It has been theorized in science fiction for decades, not just in the story you were remembering, John, that weightlessness could be a very beneficial thing for people with disabilities who can't walk or are missing legs. this is actually a potential benefit for those people.
The good news is Skyrora. The not good news is Britain. Explain, Bob.
Yes, Skyrora is a rocket startup, British rocket startup, that's been around since 2018. They really have not moved very fast on their own, but they have now announced, and they're pushing, that they have applied for a launch license from the United Kingdom Civil Aviation Authority to attempt a first orbital launch of their XL rocket in 26 next year, and they would launch from the Saxeford spaceport in the Shetland Islands, which hasn't launched anything yet. That's the good news. They seem to be finally getting off the ground. The bad news is they might not get off the ground because they're waiting for that launch license. They applied more than a year ago, but CAA has still not issued the approval, and that's typical of this bureaucracy and red tape in the UK. So it's questionable whether the company's schedule is realistic, but it isn't questionable about the CAA. They are going to be a problem no matter what, John.
Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black. Happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman. Your donations and subscriptions, most welcome. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.